And so if you wish, you may turn to Matthew 5 and keep one finger there. I don't know how. It's okay. Fine. All right. You'll see why in a moment. Let's have a word of prayer first. Our Father, we thank you for this opportunity to be together. We thank you for your word around which we gather. Your Son, his person, but the word which he imparted to us by his Spirit. We desire to read from it, to understand it, and obey it. So let us be like those Israelites who have that blue fringe upon their garments. Let them remember all the commandments of God and do that. So we look to thee, our Father. Thou knowest our sins, forgive and cleanse. Prepare hearts and lips, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. All right, in Luke chapter 6, we'll start at verse 20. And if you remember what they had last week, then you'll understand just why I say I'm preaching to you from the Beatitudes in Luke 6. Luke chapter 6, verse 20. And he lifted up his eyes on his disciples and said, Blessed are ye poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Does that sound familiar? Do you remember from Matthew 5? Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. All right, listen. Blessed are ye poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are ye that hunger now, for ye shall be filled. Blessed are ye that weep now, for ye shall laugh. Blessed are ye when men shall hate you, and when they shall separate you from their company and reproach you, and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. Remember those words. They are indispensable. Without them, you cannot understand what Christ is saying. Listen, they do all of these things to you for the Son of Man's sake. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, for behold, your reward is great in heaven, for in the same manner did their fathers unto the prophets. But woe unto you that are rich, for ye have received your consolation. Woe unto you that are full now, for ye shall hunger. Woe unto you that laugh now, for ye shall mourn and weep. Woe unto you when all men shall speak well of you, for in the same manner did their fathers to the false prophets. Remember those words. Those are the key. Why? Why? You'll see for two reasons. For my sake, the false prophets will explain that as we go along. Now, in the Old Testament, there were two mountains, Mount Ebal and Mount Gerizim. From the one comes the blessing, from the other comes the cursing. And Christ, in his word, speaks blessings and he speaks cursings. And I'm so glad, now I'm just applying this to us, I'm so glad that in that coming day, Christ is going to say to me on the right hand, Come ye blessed of my Father. Inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. And he's going to say to those on the left hand, Depart ye cursed. So we have Christ pronouncing blessing and cursing. We have him pronouncing those that are blessed, and he pronounces woes upon other individuals. Now tell me and think. Would you rather have Christ pronounce blessings upon you or woes? Now, if you wanted to pronounce blessings, I'll pray for those blessings to be your experience in life. Listen to what he said. He said, Blessed are ye poor. How many of you want to be poor? Oh, you don't. How many of you want to be hungry? How many of you want to weep? How many of you want to have your name cast out as evil? Oh, you don't want Christ to pronounce blessings on you. Well, shall I have Christ pronounce woes upon you? He said, Woe unto you rich. Tell me, you don't want to be rich? You say, tell me, do you want to laugh? You say, yes. Do you want men to speak well of you? You say, yes. Well, something's wrong here. Everything I want, Christ says, woe. And everything I don't want, he says, blessed. You see, that is why the Bible says, let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus. Because you have to think with the mind of Christ, and you have to understand just what he's saying here. Because let this mind be in you, and his mind was this. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. And that was the mind of Christ. And thinking of others, it said, Christ, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and then he went to the cross and died for you. He thought of others. But we don't want that. Tell me, do you really want to suffer, to end up a victim of crucifixion for the good of other people? You say, I should say yes, but my heart rebels, and I must confess that I would have to cry unto God and say, Lord, increase my faith, would we not all? But what you do is to read what Christ said, the Beatitudes, and accept what he said. Because there are many when Christ speaks that scorn his words, that reject his words, but you and I are they who are supposed to accept his words. And yet, not one of you raised your hands when I said, do you want Christ to call you blessed so that you'll be poor and weeping and hungry and an outcast? You say, no. Well then, what are we to do? Shall I have Christ say, woe unto you, and experience just the opposite thing? You say, then I must pray to God to impart to me the mind of Christ. We must, because the mind of Christ and the teaching of the Word of God is just the opposite of everything that the world thinks of. It says this. It says in Genesis chapter 6 that God looked upon man, and every imagination of the thought of his heart was evil continually. And yet the Bible says, blessed are the pure in heart. And if God leaves you alone, every imagination of the thought of your heart will be evil continually, and your thought will be evil from your youth. And so we have to cry to God to control our minds. And this is what the Bible says to us, gird up the loins of your mind. And it speaks about looking on a woman, to lust after her, and it speaks about Judas Iscariot looking upon that alabaster box of ointment that was wasted, in his words, upon our blessed Savior. And so you can look at lust or with covetousness if you have the mind of the flesh, or you can cry to God for the mind of Christ, and then you will understand and you will accept Christ's pronouncement of blessings upon his disciples who are in these conditions. But I assure you, unless you bow the knee to Christ and let him impart to you his mind, you will never accept it. You will rebel against it. And when Christ would pronounce you blessed, you would pronounce yourself mara, bitter. You see, here is Naomi. And she says, call me not Naomi, call me Mara, bitter. And if these things happen to you, you would say, call me not blessed, call me bitter. But when the Savior says something is blessed, we must accept it and look into it and try to discover why he calls something that we would flee from if left to ourselves, that he calls blessed, and something that he pronounces a woe upon, we would embrace. Then we have to think this thing through. All right, I've given you the key. I'll say simply this in comparing the two passages. It's this. The Beatitudes in Matthew 5 are more internal, and these four Beatitudes with their contrasting woes are more external. For instance, blessed are the poor in spirit. You see? That's inside. But in Luke, it's blessed are ye poor. That is poor outwardly. Blessed are ye that hunger and thirst after righteousness. That is an inward thing. But this physical hunger, though inward, it can be satisfied immediately by the eating of food. So you will find that the Beatitudes, mostly in Matthew, are internal, whereas the Beatitudes in Luke are external. And let me hasten to tell you this. There is no virtue in poverty of itself. There is no virtue in weeping. There is no virtue in being an outcast. In fact, unless you have understood the way I told you to as I read them, the conditions that bring about poverty and hunger and weeping and rejection, unless you understand the conditions that bring them about, then all of these things are false. All right. It says this. It says, look at verse 22. Blessed are you when men shall hate you, and when they shall separate you from their company and reproach you, and cast out your name as evil. Why? For the Son of Man's sake. Do you understand? All right. Listen to this. It says this. Woe unto you when all men shall speak well of you, for so did their fathers to the false prophets. Why is it bad to have people to speak well of you? Why did the people speak well of the false prophets? Because they were telling them lies. When a man like Jeremiah would say, the enemy is coming and is going to destroy us, why, the people hated him. But when the false prophets came and said, oh no, the enemy is going to be defeated, there shall be peace in the land, whom did they love? The false prophets, do you understand? Now, there are those to whom I could go and tell lies. You are not going to hell. I could speak as to Eve and say, if you eat that fruit, you're not going to die. A God of love would never send people to hell. And would people love me? You say, of course they would. That is, the world they would love me. But when I told them that and they loved me, what if I changed my speech and told them, you must be born again. Except you repent, you will perish. Then, will they love me? You say, they will hate you. Then, if they hate me and cast out my name as evil for telling them the truth and seeking to rescue them from hell, am I blessed? You say, you are. It's for the Son of Man's sake. It's for the gospel's sake that all these things are happening. Now, thinking of it that way, then all falls into place. Here I am. I am poor. Why? For Christ's sake. I'll give you an example. Here is a man named Zacchaeus. He's a publican and he's rich. But when Christ calls him down from that sycamore tree and goes to his home and Zacchaeus experiences salvation, the first thing he said was this, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I've wrongfully exacted aught from any man, I restore fourfold. What happened to that man's wealth in a day's time? It was greatly diminished. Think of what the disciples said to Christ in Matthew 19. Peter said, Lord, we have left all and forsaken all, and we followed you. Now, before, they were fishermen that have a living, a livelihood. They owned boats. Now, they said, we've forsaken it all, and we followed you. What were they then? You say, they were poor. So poor that when Peter said, yes, my master pays the tribute money, the Lord had to send him out to miraculously catch a fish so he could pay that tribute money to the Lord and himself. You see? So here is Peter, and he's poor, but he is poor for what reason? He said, Lord, we have left all and followed you. Now, Peter is poor. Would you say Peter is blessed as a poor man? Would you? Of course you would. But now, let me give you another example. A father had two sons, and the younger son said, Father, give me that part of the inheritance that comes to me. And his father divided unto him all his living. He went into the far country, and he spent all. And now, he's a pauper, and he's feeding swine. Is that good? Is that good? You say, no. And yet God even works that together for good. But understand, For those who in their folly waste, make bad decisions, bring poverty upon themselves, because there are some who do that. I remember one man that was influential in helping other people. At one time, he was a wealthy man, but he was one who was an investor, and he made all of these investments, and then he saw all his money disappear. And then he had to work like an ordinary man, and he had to have things given to him. He was poor, but he said, I was a grasper, I was a gambler, you see? And so God is not pronouncing blessings upon poor people that because of their own folly have brought about their poverty. And at the same time, I have heard people on the radio, and I've seen them on television, and I've understood why people would curse them and cast out their name as evil because of their inept ability to present the truth of God from the Scriptures. I've heard them. I've heard them beg for money. I've seen that they are charlatans, and for that reason, when men cast out their names as evil, that's not good. You think the Lord right now, when these two evangelists that you know, that had such great reputations, their names are cast out as evil, and they are a byword to the whole world, you think that they are blessed because their names are cast out as evil? You say no, because they brought it upon themselves. Of course they did. And that's not what Christ is talking about. But any time I stand for truth, let me give you an example. Here is John the Baptist, and he's not afraid to tell the ruler of the land, it's not lawful for you to have your brother's wife. And what did it cost him? It cost him his life. And so he could have condoned that sin. As the false prophet, he could have tried to find a way to get around it or ignore it and say nothing. And then he would have been praised. He would have been considered a wise man. But John the Baptist would be considered a fool. His name would be cast out as evil. And Herod's wife set her eye upon him from that day, and she sought to kill him. Now that's what this Bible is talking about. It's talking about people that are poor for Christ's sake. Because, Lord, we have left all and followed you. Zacchaeus. The half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I'm wrongfully exacted out of any man, I restore fourfold. It's because of your sacrifices for the name of Christ. It is because of what you have done for Christ. If you are poor because of that, then all is well. It is folly if a man brings pain and suffering upon himself in disobedience to God. It's like this. When Jonah was told to go to Nineveh and preach, he did an about-face and sought to go to Tarshish, and a storm came upon him, and he was cast out into the ocean and swallowed by the great fish. All of those hardships Jonah brought in upon himself, and they were not good things, because Christ spoke of such things. But when Paul and Silas saw that Macedonian man, saw in that vision, come over into Macedonia and help us. And they went, and they found themselves in prison with bleeding backs. Were they blessed? You say, yes, they were blessed. And so that's what Christ means here. All of these blessings are not blessings because of our folly, our mistake, our foolish speaking, but it's because of what we have done for Christ and what it's cost us. Like Paul said, I'm ready to spend and be spent for the name of Christ. If you're poor that way, then blessed are ye poor. And if you are weeping because, as Christ did, he spoke the truth to Jerusalem, and they forsook him. And he said, as he wept over the city, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, that stoneth the prophets, and killeth them that are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathers her chickens under her wings, and ye would not. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate. That's the kind of weeping he's talking about. And when's the last time you shed any tears over some loved one that's perishing? I see. And so Christ says, blessed are they that weep now. And so, in one sense, these Beatitudes mean nothing to us today, because we're not weeping very much for the lost, and we're not becoming impoverished. We've forsaken all for your sake, Lord Jesus. We can't say that with Peter. And at the same time, not weeping because of the loss, and not having our name cast out because we've taken a stand and we preach the truth of God, you see? But if we have and find ourselves poor and weeping and hungry, let me ask you this. Do you remember the Savior after he had fasted 40 days? It said afterward, he what? It said he hungered. Do you remember? And the Savior said, blessed are ye that hunger now. And so, would you be willing to be hungry that way? You say, it was a blessed thing for our Savior to abstain from food in doing the will of God. Then, to be hungry doing the will of God is a blessed thing. To be poor doing the will of God. To weep because of your love of the lost, and at the same time to be cast out as evil because you tell the truth. Then all of those things are blessed. You say, yes, every one of them is blessed. Then, under these conditions, would you want to be blessed? You say, if I could get up enough conviction to give until I was poor, to speak no matter what the consequences were, to be hungry if necessary before I would compromise myself and do what Satan said, and if the world casts out my name as evil because I was telling them of the beauties of the Lord Jesus, yes, I'm prepared to be called blessed, and so am I. But under any other conditions, I will fight against these things to the death. But just remember this, that if you are experiencing these things and they've not been brought upon you because of your own folly and disobedience to God, then the Savior says, blessed art thou. I say that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Do you know what the Savior will say to me? Blessed art thou, John Mills, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father who is in heaven. The Savior pronounces blessings upon people that are wise, that do the right things. He never makes a mistake. But then, he speaks about the wolves. And this is what I do not want. Because there are those that are just the opposite. It says this in chapter 6 of Luke, again, the contrast, verse 24. It says, woe unto you that are rich, for you have received your consolation. Notice, you have received your consolation. Do you know who spoke words almost the same as these? There was a man who was rich, and he died and was buried, and in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments. And Abraham said to him, son, remember that you in your lifetime receive your good things. Listen to this. Here is a rich man, and it said, you have received your reward. You have received your consolation. Now, what is wrong with being rich is being rich, but not rich toward God. It is being rich disregarding God, the claims of God. The man was rich, and in hell he came to his senses, and he said this. He said, Father Abraham, he said, I have five brothers that are on earth. Send Lazarus back to warn them about this place of torment. But Abraham said, they will not be persuaded. And the rich man said, they will repent. Notice, he had not repented. He had not been persuaded about things to come. And so the rich people that he's speaking about here are the rich ones that have never repented, the rich ones who have never been persuaded about the life to come. But thank God for rich people. Matthew was a rich man. Zacchaeus was a rich man. Joseph of Arimathea was a rich man. And all of these men were blessed. And so there's nothing wrong with being rich if God brings it into your life. If I must compromise, if I must forsake the assembling of ourselves together, if I must do anything contrary to the will of God to enrich myself, then it is sin. But if I carry out the will of God, and I happen to be as Joseph in the Old Testament, no matter what Joseph did in his faithfulness to God, God lavished riches upon him. It seemed as if it weren't that way at first, but eventually this one who was a slave in prison is exalted, and he's second in command in the land of Egypt. Why? For righteousness' sake. Now some of us would have compromised ourselves with Potiphar's wife. Some of us would have compromised ourselves with the prison attendants. All of these things, we would have made concessions, but Joseph said no. And eventually, God elevated him, made him rich, and with his riches, he brought his father and his brothers and all his relatives down into Egypt, and he gave them a position in Egypt. You see the difference? Most of us are like this rich man. We want to be rich for ourselves. But Joseph maintained his humility, and he maintained his love and concern for others, even though he was rich. So if you are wealthy and God has brought this wealth upon you, and there is no dishonor, there is no taint to it, then be a Joseph of Arimathea. Be a Zacchaeus. That is what God would have us to do. But do not be a rich man like the rich man in Luke 16. All right, this. It says, woe unto you that are full now, you shall hunger. I've given you the first illustration of a man that was rich, and woe unto you that are rich in Luke 16. Now the man that's full. Do you remember? Here is another rich man, and his crops brought forth abundantly, and he said, I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't have any place to store all my goods. He said, I'll tear down these barns and build greater. I'll fill them with all my goods, and I will sit back and say, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. You see, here is this man that's full, and he can think of only being full day after day for years. And the Lord said to him, thou fool, this night thy soul is required of thee. So here is the example. Here is a man who is full, and suddenly the man is hungry. Did you notice that one of the penalties of the life to come for those who do not know God as their Father is the removal of everything they have on life? Here is this rich man who fared sumptuously every day, the finest clothing, the finest foods, and in hell he was willing to have a diseased beggar's finger stuck in water and touched to his tongue. You say he was reduced to that? Yes. That's what he wanted. And so this is what happens in the world to come. Your wealth is taken away, and you're reduced to poverty. And this is what Christ is talking about. So, let us look through our lives, and let us see if we have what we have at the expense of obedience to the Word of God, and if we are rich, then get rid of those riches. But if they are not in disobedience to the Word of God, this is what the Bible says about the rich. It says, God enriches you unto all liberality. You say, so that's why he made me rich. Why, of course. It says that in 2 Corinthians. He enriches you unto all liberality. And it says in 1 Timothy 6, it says, he giveth us richly all things to enjoy. And so do not feel miserable if God has given you abundance, but use it wisely and thank God. And as it says, remember the poor. And at the same time, eat food and enjoy it. I've been to wealthy people's homes, and they had the best food, and they didn't know how to prepare it. And I've been to the poorest homes, and they had economical cuts of meat, and they knew how to prepare it, and it was delicious. And so some people have the best, and they don't know how to enjoy it as much as the poor, you see? And so God says, enjoy life, but you enjoy it in fellowship with God. The Lord Jesus, when the disciples were hungry, they had been fishing all night. The Lord Jesus had them food cooking when they got to the shore. Nothing wrong with eating. Nothing wrong with not being hungry. And at the same time, there's nothing wrong with laughing. It says when they saw the Lord Jesus risen from the dead, they disbelieved for joy. And here is Mary. Think now. She's weeping in John chapter 20. Tell me where you've taken my Lord. I will go. I will take him away. She's weeping. And the Lord says, Mary. And then her tears are turned to joy. And that's what the Lord is talking about. And so all of those who have sorrow and hunger and poverty and rejection now for Christ's sake, for the truth's sake, then we are blessed. But if we have all of these things for our own folly and disobedience, there's no blessing to that. And yet God will even work that together for good. But then let none of these woes be pronounced upon us for this reason. You have pleasure now, but woe in the life to come. We may have now tears and hunger and sorrow, but in the life to come, we have all these things reversed. He shall wipe away all tears. And so now, Lord Jesus, pronounce these blessings upon us and never pronounce these woes upon us. In thy name we pray. Amen.